Welcome to Bridges Community Church, and whether you're joining us online or live in person, we would like to say thanks for joining us. And remember, it doesn't matter what you've been through in your life. It doesn't matter what you're struggling with or what you're going through right now. You are welcome here, and you are in the right place. We will begin our services in just a few moments, and as we prepare to enter into a time of worship, we would just like to say we would love to connect with you. If you're new with us, head to bridges.info and let us know that you're here, and we'll reach out this week and find out how we can be praying for you or how we can help get you connected to our community.
Hey everyone, we want you to mark your calendars for Saturday, December 3rd at 5 p.m. We are having our final children's musical performance. And by saying final children's musical performance, we do not mean it's the last one of the season or the last one of the year. We mean it is the final children's musical performance. Our amazing director, Les, is retiring after an incredible career spanning over four decades serving children in this area, getting them involved in singing and choreography and learning about Jesus and loving music. Les is retiring, and so this is the final children's musical performance, and it will be here in Bridges Sanctuary Worship Center December 3rd at 5 p.m. It's a free event, open to the public. You can bring a friend, but what we would love for you to do is bring a canned good that we'll donate to the Much Hope Ministry for them to distribute this Christmas season. So show up here, 5 p.m. Saturday, December 3rd, and bring a canned good. And see Les lead the children's choir one final time. Thanks to Les for her career. And we were looking forward to this amazing performance.
Happy week of Thanksgiving. I love this time of year. Happy to be with you all today. Now, I told the following story in one of my very first sermons about 11, 12 years ago, so I apologize if you've heard this before, but I think every Thanksgiving it comes to my mind, and a lot of you people weren't here at the time, so just thought I'd bless you all with this story. When I was little, I remember my grandparents coming to visit me. And as they usually did, they came bearing gifts. Nice to see you, Grandma and Grandpa. Let me give you a hug. Let's cut the chit-chat. What'd you bring me? Right? That's usually how that went. I wouldn't vocalize those things, I don't think, but I probably was thinking them. This time, they brought a custom-made dollhouse for my older sister. This thing had, somebody had spent a lot of time with this. It was two stories tall, had a roof that opens up, had all kinds of rooms inside. You could like twirl it around and see in the front and in the back. It had like wallpaper and carpeting. And like, I'm not joking, like somebody had gone to great expense. And that was the first gift that was given out that day. So I'm thinking, okay, let's get to the big finale. What'd you bring for me? Well, my grandfather gave me a present, and I've had different people in my life that I've observed opening presents very daintily, where they, you know, will carefully undo the tape. Like, you know anybody like this? And they say they're going to keep the paper. That's not how I learned how to open up presents. So just grab the present, ripped it open, and I present to you now what I got that day for the grand finale. I don't know why you're laughing, because I wasn't laughing that day. I'm going to just put this right here. If you can't tell, you people out there on the patio, it's a baseball player porcelain. I've had this for a long time, and I've never really been good at having a poker face. I don't know what my face was registering at the moment that I opened this, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't thankfulness. So anyway, after several awkward moments, my grandparents could sense my disappointment, so they were just kind of like looking at each other, and I'm kind of like, is there anything else? And my grandfather always spoke very directly to me. He said, Steve, I want you to do something for me. I want you to go find a dictionary, and I want you to go look up the word gracious in it. Great. Thanks, Grandma and Grandpa. You just gave me a lame gift. Now I have a homework assignment. What kind of kid has a dictionary? Well, the kind of kid whose grandparents get him a lame dictionary. So I had a dictionary, even at that age. So I went and got this dictionary that they had gotten me whenever I was little. And I looked up the word gracious and realized instantly. I could picture even today what the word means. Young people, if you don't know what the word means, look it up. And you'll see what I saw, which was I realized I didn't say thanks. I wasn't very gracious or grateful. So I sheepishly walked back downstairs and told my grandparents thank you and that I was sorry for not being more grateful. But I think every year at Thanksgiving about this little guy. So I've kept it. One of these days, I'll give it to one of my grandchildren. I'm married to somebody who's very much thinking about, you should probably sell that. You could get a lot of money. I might be able to do that, but as much as I didn't like it at the time, now it's actually become quite dear to me. So I'm just going to put him right here. Hopefully I don't knock him over at some point. If it happens, we'll just get some glue. But every Thanksgiving, there's a question that parents ask to kind of avoid these types of embarrassing situations. And you all know this question. Every parent knows this question. Every grandparent knows this question. Every child knows this question. It's always the same question. All parents have asked it as long as there have been parents. All children have had it asked of them as long as there have been children. I've asked it of my children. I am sure I will ask it of my grandchildren. You all know this question. The question is, when somebody does something nice for you, they give you a gift, they do a favor for you, what do you say? You say thank you, right? You say thank you. Thank you for this nice present. Thank you for this porcelain doll. Thank you for the interesting sweater that you knit for me. Thank you for the lima bean casserole that I'm not very grateful for. What's the child supposed to say? Thank you. Whenever parents ask this, every child knows this isn't really a question. Parents aren't searching for information here, like they don't know the answer to this. We ask it because we want our children to learn, even if they don't feel thanks, to offer thanks, right? We want them to become people who don't just parrot words saying thank you, but they actually become thankful people and live with thankful hearts. For the most part, though, I think that it's interesting, we still think in this country, no matter what direction you think that we're taking as a country, it's still fascinating to me that we have taken a day or multiple days as a country where most institutions and workplaces take time away for the specific purpose, in theory, of giving thanks. That's interesting. It's kind of odd that we still do that. It's a good thing. We seem to agree as a country, people of faith and people not of faith, we tend to agree that thankfulness is a good thing. But we also usually think about thankfulness as an obligation, as something you're just supposed to instinctively do and to feel. But let's admit it's really hard work to dredge up a lot of thankfulness sometimes if we just look at it as an obligation. It is an obligation. It is something you're supposed to do and to feel. It would be wrong to be unthankful. But it's one thing to be thankful, you all know this, when things are going well. And it's another thing to be thankful when things are not. Standing outside this morning, I receive the gamut from you all about updates, the good and the bad and the ugly. Just, we can all relate to this. I confess to you here today that I'm not nearly as grateful or thankful as I should be. And I also don't express thanksgiving as often as I should. I wonder if any of you can relate to that. I suspect that some of you could say the same thing. And so for a lot of us with Thanksgiving this Thursday, the challenge is to be thankful not just this Thursday, but beyond this Thursday. Not just this week, beyond this week. Not just the month of November, beyond November, and really beyond the calendar. To give thanks and to praise God, not because it's a holiday, but because it is God's desire for us. It's what our scripture today tells us. It's a simple verse that many of you have heard before. And as immune as some of us are to memorizing scripture, you could actually, I believe, memorize this one. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So short, I'm going to say it again. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We know that Thanksgiving as believers is to mark the entirety of our lives, not just again in November. And we know that this feeling should not just be some generic thing that we parrot back to God, but come from the deepest parts of our being. So what does it mean to particularly give thanks to God from grateful hearts? I want to share three simple things from this passage. First is the activity of giving thanks. The activity of giving thanks. That's the first part of verse 18. Give thanks. Most of us, I think, probably think of the act of giving thanks as being about politeness. I mean, why do we coach kids to say thank you? Because it's just the polite thing to do. But the concern of Scripture is never just that we be more polite. The concern of Scripture is that we be holy. The concern of Scripture is that we be conformed more into the likeness of Jesus, that our hearts are transformed so we become the kind of people from whom thankfulness just flows. And so Thanksgiving is not so much about etiquette. Thanksgiving is not so much about good manners. It's not about being less grumpy. Those are good things. Thankfulness is about worshiping God. And it's not simply impolite to not offer thanks to God. It's actually a sin. It's rebellion. In fact, it's a sign, the Bible tells us, that to not thank God means you don't belong to God. If that sounds like an overstatement, we have Romans 1:18 through 21. The wrath of God, Romans 1 tells us, is being revealed from heaven against the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Some of us would say amen to that. Yes, they should get what they deserve, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, these things have been clearly seen, being understood what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. This description of people who do not follow after God, part of it is not giving thanks to God, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. God gives us life. He sustains us every moment. And so this passage is teaching us that it's an affront to fail to say thanks to God, and even more to follow after other gods. The point here is that not giving thanks is so much more than a character flaw. It's not about politeness. It's a denial of God's faithfulness. It's a denial of what God has done, his kindness. We just sang, "Great is thy faithfulness." To not say thanks is to say, "God, you've really not been thankful, faithful." And that's why the ultimate expression of sin, the ultimate expression of ingratitude, would be to knowingly reject the offer that God gives to us for salvation and a relationship with him. If someone went to great lengths and to great expense in order to pay for and to address a great need that you and I have, and then you choose to reject it or to deny it, I think most of us would say that's not just a kind of ingratitude. That's a great ingratitude. God sent the Son. And yet the world largely rejected the Son then. The world largely rejects the Son today. He came to offer eternal life and abundant life. It's a great offer. And it came at great price, great cost. And so this isn't just an issue of neutrality or indifference. It's an expression of ingratitude, right? It's a rejection of God. And the consequence of that rejection is very enormous. That's why we talk so much in our sermons about the gospel. The gospel, the message of who Jesus is and what he came to do. He came not to be served, but to serve. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. And it is trusting in who Jesus is and what he came to do that we find reconciliation with God. That's the gospel. And the gospel has the power to change our hearts. And we need to be changed from ungrateful people to grateful people. The gospel comes to our stony, unthankful hearts, and it warms us into thankfulness to remind ourselves of who God is and what Jesus came to do. Can just melt our hearts if we really sit in that. It convinces us of God's goodness and of his favor towards us. It enables us to taste and to see and to know that God is really good. So a rescued people, that's us, should be a thankful people. A ransomed people, that's us, should be a thankful people. A redeemed people, that's us, should be a thankful people. We honor God by giving him thanks from our hearts and with our lips for who he is and for what he has done, the activity of giving thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, though, also gives us the occasion for giving thanks, the occasion for giving thanks. Maybe you agree with the assessment. Yes, it is good to say thanks. You're like, I agree. So when should we do it? On which occasions? When are we to take up this activity of giving thanks? Verse 18 gives us the straightforward answer, does it not? Give thanks when? In all circumstances. That word all is enormous. There's nowhere to hide, right? It's saying give thanks first in, notice this, whatever circumstances you're in. It's also saying to give thanks wherever you find yourself, whether you're on the mountaintop or in the valley, whether you're in a place of plenty or a place of pain. And it's also saying to give thanks whenever you find yourself. The Apostle Paul is writing this message here, this verse, to the Thessalonian church. And the Thessalonian church thought that they had missed the return of Christ, and they were all distraught about it, and they were longing to be in heaven because of the persecution that they were undergoing. And so he says, give thanks in all circumstances. It's a reminder, whatever, wherever, and also whenever you find yourself. It is easy, you know this, to get discouraged by the things we see in our world, the realities at this particular point. And so our thankfulness to God is not determined by the age in which you live. Our thankfulness is determined by the future hope that we have, as well as in the present faithfulness of God. We don't need to wait until heaven to give thanks to God in all circumstances. Having a tough week, you have reason to give thanks. Having a great week, you have reason to give thanks. Whether he provides what you need or whether he removes what you want, you and I have reason to give thanks. The big question that always comes up anytime this passage is read or talked about, how is this even possible? To give thanks in all circumstances, especially if your circumstances are horrible. How is it possible to give thanks when life is just one discouragement, disaster, disappointment, death after another? This notion of giving thanks in all circumstances just seems patently absurd. And so all of our human attempts to manufacture gratitude, whether through cliches and memorizing little phrases or some other mood-altering activity, it just falls short. This is absurd, to be thanks in all circumstances. Always be thankful in the morning when I'm not a morning person. Give thanks when I'm on my way to a job that I hate. Give thanks for my spouse and kids who are inconsiderate. Give thanks for my demanding parents. Give thanks for my roommate when they're driving me crazy. Give thanks for my church when it fails to meet my spiritual needs. Give thanks for my cancer, which is draining life from me. That little phrase, in all circumstances, points out that it's not just from time to time that we need this reminder. And it's not just a matter of willpower to get upbeat again. Why? Because The reason the Bible continually commands us to be thankful in all circumstances is because we tend to not be continually thankful. It's much more natural for us to complain. It's much more natural for us to feel that we just don't have enough, even though we live in the world of such rampant materialism and amongst such excess and amongst the wealthiest people of all time. It's more natural to just keep score. It's much more natural to compare ourselves with others and wonder, how do I compare? How do I measure up? It's much more natural for us to feel superior to some and inferior to others based on how you feel you compare to them. It's more natural to, instead of having joy and contentment, to allow seeds of envy and discouragement and jealousy and covetousness to take root in our hearts. It's more natural to focus on what we don't have as opposed to what we do have. It's more natural to look at God through the lens of our circumstances and ask, God, what have you done for me lately? It's more natural to pray for God's intervention in our lives, but then to congratulate ourselves rather than thank God for the results. It's much more natural to complain to God when he doesn't, or when he answers our prayers because he didn't answer how we thought that he should answer. The point is that thankfulness, and certainly thankfulness in all circumstances, is not natural to us. So we need to learn to be thankful in all circumstances. And a big part of the discipline of learning to be thankful in all circumstances, we have to learn this, is learning to view our reality, friends, don't miss this, to view our reality, whether in good times or times are difficult, in times of prosperity or in times of pain, through the lens of God's sovereignty. So one of the reasons why we're to give thanks in all circumstances is to remind ourselves that God is with us in each of our circumstances, is it not? You would have reason to grumble if God were to ever forget about you. You and I would have reason to grumble if God's mercies were not new every morning. You and I would have reason to grumble if he didn't send his son to give his life for us. So if the Lord is entirely sovereign, which he is, and if he is always good to you in Christ, which he is, then when we grumble or complain in any circumstance, we're actually denying that God is involved. We're forgetting he's in control. We're denying that he's good all the time. So if times are good for you, be thankful this week. Don't be embarrassed about it. Don't boast or gloat about it, but give thanks. And if times are not good for you, I'm not going to pretend like, hey, that's easy. You should just be thankful. But one of the best things we can do in those moments, friends, is to remind ourselves that the season in your life is only a season. To remind ourselves that the story is not over. To remind ourselves that the one who is writing the script for your life is still ruling. He still has the whole world in his hands. And you need to hear that today. And he is weaving all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. In all things, God does what? He works in all things, good or bad. So we have the activity of giving thanks. We have the occasion of giving thanks. And this passage is also giving us the reason for giving thanks. Give thanks in all circumstances. Why? This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The reason for giving thanks. I can't tell you how many times I have prayed to know God's will for my life. Especially when I'm going through a trial. God, I want to know your will. Have you ever wanted to know God's will for your life? Have you ever prayed to know God's will? This is God's will for you. Verse 18 says, give thanks in all circumstances. And we're like, great reminder, God. Yes, you're right. I really do need to be more thankful. Getting back to my request, no, give thanks in all circumstances. I know, Lord, I know, I get it. We all need to be more thankful, but seriously, this is urgent. I need to know your will. I need clarity. I need direction right now. Here's the point. It's always God's will for us to give thanks in all circumstances, period. It's not just his preference. It's not a suggestion. It is his divine will, and that just brings an entirely different weight to the whole thing. And what I've discovered, and again, some of us need to hear this today, is that until we learn to give thanks in all circumstances, because that's God's will for us, then much of God's will for us will likely be veiled to an extent. He's already revealed his will, and we want the rest of the will, and we have to do what he's already revealed to us. Give thanks in all circumstances. Be faithful to obey God's revealed will to you. Give thanks to God in all circumstances, and God will be faithful to guide and to provide for you. I want to be clear and point out that while verse 18 says we are to give thanks in all circumstances because it's God's will, this is not saying whatever circumstances you are in right now is God's will. Because there are a lot of bad things that happen in the world that are not God's will. We read about it every day. Just read it this morning about the shooting in Colorado. There's a lot of bad things that happen that are not God's will. Sin is certainly not God's will, something that God desires or wants. But to be thankful, it's always God's will for us. You want to know God's will for your life? We already know one thing: give thanks in every situation and circumstance. And of all the things that we should be thankful for, and there are many, I think you all know where I'm going on this one, the thing we should be most thankful for is the salvation that God provided for us in the death of Jesus, who died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin, putting himself under the wrath of God, drinking the cup of God's wrath, as Pastor Dan talked about last week, bearing the punishment for our sin, the sins of all who would ever believe, and providing access to God and to eternal life. And it's that little phrase at the end of 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in Christ Jesus, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That little phrase, in Christ Jesus, reminds us of the foundation of our salvation. If you want a relationship with God, it's not through your good works. It is in Christ Jesus, his life, putting trust in that. That's the foundation for our relationship with God. But in Christ Jesus is also the foundation for our thankfulness. In Christ Jesus. The reason that thankfulness makes sense in all circumstances is because our foundation is not in our circumstances. Our foundation is in Christ Jesus. Jesus actually showed us the way to give thanks in all circumstances. The best place to see that, or one of the best places, is in the upper room, where Jesus shared a meal with his followers. And according to Luke 22:19, the night before Jesus was betrayed, Jesus took the bread, it says in Luke 22:19, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, the bread, to his followers, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Did you know that the Greek word for thanks in that verse, where Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks, that the Greek word for that is the word that gives us the word Eucharist, which we refer to as the Lord's Supper or communion. And the root word of Eucharist is charis. It's grace. And another Greek word that we get from Eucharist is also the word for joy. Grace and joy and thanks. You see how that's all connected together? Jesus took the bread. He saw it as grace. He saw it as joy to give his life for others. He knew it to be a gift, and he gave thanks. His thanks was not based on Jesus' present circumstances. He was about to endure the worst horror of all time, but he felt thankful to the Father for the grace and the glory that was going to come to him because of the cross, and that gave him great joy. His eyes were on his future joy. His eyes were not on his present circumstances. He got through the cross by not just focusing on the cross, but on the promised joy that would result from it and being able to provide access for us to have a relationship with God. So that's where God wants our eyes, on the future joy he has promised us as his followers. So how can you give thanks in all circumstances? There's only one way, and it's Jesus' way. Look to the joy set before you. Look to the joy, Jesus himself, who came to give his life. And give thanks in all circumstances. It's God's will for us in Christ Jesus. Amen. We're going to enter into a time of sharing the Lord's table together. How appropriate. As you think about Thanksgiving, giving thanks for how God has provided. Our servers are going to get into position here. We are going to take communion, and we always want to remind ourselves of the symbolism of communion here. As we partake of the bread and the cup, these are powerful symbols that remind us of the body and the blood of Jesus. His body broken for us, his blood spilt for us. So as we take communion, we're not to do it in a mechanical way. We're not to rush through it. We're not to do it in a dishonoring way to God. We're doing so reflecting on the gift of just great cost. So we're going to have the opportunity here in a moment. The music's going to play in a moment. You're going to have a chance. We have different stations around this room and outside in the on the patio. We have servers out there. We've got servers that will come up to the balcony, I believe, or actually, I think you may need to come on down, yeah, for that. So, but we're going to take this all together. I'm going to pray for us in just a moment, but I would just encourage us to think of this as our expression of thanks to God. Reflect on your sins, reflect on the payment that Jesus made for it, and give thanks in all circumstances. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you for providing your son. Here in this time of communion, the breaking of bread, the sharing of the cup, we're reminded of his sacrifice. We're reminded of our great debt to you and how Jesus paid that debt. Forgive us our trespasses, Lord. Forgive us for lack of gratitude at any point. Help us to trust you at all times. You are good all the time, and your mercies are new every morning. Draw us close to the cross this Thanksgiving week and during this time of communion, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.